Hi, everybody, and welcome to a new week of Golf Betting. It's the Press. I'm Ryan Ballingy. It's good to have you with us to kick off our show this week. We're going to go over the opening lines to win the RBC Canadian Open. We'll talk a little bit about the Scandinavian Mixed, which is between the DP World Tour and the Ladies European Tour this week. We do have some other tournaments on the docket. We also have the LPGA, which kicks off on Friday for a 54-hole event. Rare one these days. The ShopRite LPGA Classic just outside of Atlantic City, one of my personal favorites. I was up there recently for the media day, played that golf course, Seaview, a couple of different times, so we could talk about that a little bit this week. We won't have the odds for that today because that'll come out tomorrow, typically does. And we're getting really close to the U.S. Open. It's next week. We have the sectional qualifying, well, formerly known as sectional qualifying, now known as final qualifying. Today, 10 sites are taking place right now as we record this. There already have been three that have been done, one in England, one in Japan, and one in Texas. They have had an early one in Texas for the last few years, and the remaining 10 are today. I think it's 40 spots up for grabs today. They've already done, 14 of them already. So the remaining, I think, 40 are up for grabs today. There's one here in the area at Woodmont Country Club, which is an annual host of this thing. I would love to see them actually get some kind of USGA championship, like a US Women's Open someday. They have hosted the Women's Am in recent memory. It's a great place, great golf course. So I might be heading over there this afternoon to see it all wrap up. But can't bet on that. We do not have that kind of action available. That would be some degenerate level stuff if you knew who could get through sectionals in a one-day 36-hole tournament and you could bet on it. Oh, my goodness. We won't talk about that, but that would be some scary stuff. I was up actually in New York City over the weekend, went to the darts, PDC darts, and the U.S. Darts Masters and the North American Darts Championship. Huge darts fan. Highly encourage you to go to a darts tournament if you've never been to one. I hadn't been to one in 6 years since one in Las Vegas. The pandemic obviously put a hampering on that a little bit, but it was such a great time. We had a great time in the theater at MSG. The tournament is just so much fun. It's a great atmosphere, and if anything, it could be something that the people who are putting together the TGL, the Monday Night Screen Golf stuff, could learn from by having a great raucous crowd, really playing up to having a good time in person and just making it a celebration of what's happening. It's such a great atmosphere. So made a little bit of money betting some darts, got a little degenerate there on some things, but came out ahead in the end. Now let's get to the RBC Canadian Open this week. Now this is a tournament that moves around, so you need to know that. We are not at our usual venue. The most common venue for this championship since 1904 has been Glen Abbey, and that's largely been because that's become kind of the de facto home of it in recent years. That is not the case this year. Oakdale Golf and Country Club, similarly in Toronto area, in Ontario, is the host. It's a Stanley Thompson design for the most part, although it's not all his. It's a composite of two courses, nine of his and nine of another architect this week. It's a par 72. It's 7264, so not a particularly long golf course. Not short either, but not long by any stretch of the modern game, playing for a $9 million purse this week. You've got Rory McIlroy as the two-time defending champion. He won in 2019, and he won last year. He's going for a COVID-interrupted three-peat. He is 4.5-1 to win this week. I don't know how you can bet him in good conscience unless you look at the odds down the board and go, bleh, for any of those, and decide you're just going to go with McIlroy. From what McIlroy did last week, he put himself in contention through 54 holes and then made an absolute mess of it on Sunday at Muirfield Village. The guy's wedge game, full wedge shot capability, is just hideous for a man of his capability. It's frankly staggering how bad he is with wedges. I mean, made four bogeys with wedges in hand yesterday. And I know Muirfield Village was playing really difficult. It was very much a major championship, almost a US Open-like setup in terms of how the rough penalized you, where you had to put your ball with your second shot, speed of the greens and all of that. But with a wedge in hand, you should be capable enough to not make four bogeys with a wedge in hand. Maybe Michael Block was right if he had Rory McIlroy's driving game and he used his wedge game. Maybe he would be a world-class talent. Or maybe it'd be the other way. Maybe if Rory McIlroy had Michael Block's wedge game, he would be unbeatable. And I want to say the same thing here also about Scottie Scheffler. Scottie Scheffler gained more than 20 strokes from tee to green in this tournament last week. That is unprecedented stuff in the ShotLink era. I think there's maybe been one tournament, I think it was Vijay Singh, maybe in 04, where someone has earned more strokes tee to green in a single 72-hole event. It was unbelievable what he accomplished. And then he lost more than 8 strokes putting. If he had just been not bad at putting, not bad. I don't think he made a longer putt than like 8 feet all week, maybe 10 feet once. But his week of putting was so, so bad. If he had just managed to putt competently for 5 holes, just 5 holes, any 5 holes, he would have won the golf tournament probably by 3. That's how good he is striking the ball right now. But that is a concern. He has been bad putting all year, really, especially this last 3 months, just been hideously bad at putting, hitting it so well, and then just can't get the ball in the hole. And that is definitely a concern moving forward, because putting can really affect the rest of your game. It just can. But then again, so can what McIlroy's going through right now. But he's also been a bad wedge player for, I don't know, 15 years, and he still manages to win tournaments. Can't win majors, but he can win tournaments. So this is a weird thing for Scheffler to be going through, and I think it's something to be well aware of going into the U.S. Open, knowing he is very bad at putting right now, and that could be a big problem in trying to get over the finish line in a major, or any tournament, but especially in a major, especially after being so close the last, what, 3 times out with no semblance of putting. That tells you how good he is right now. All right, Tyrrell Hatton is second on the board, along with Sam Burns. They're 12-1 to win. Sam Burns impressed me last week. We talked about it. Seemed like a very good missed cut bet because of his poor experience at this tournament. And he turned it around, made himself into a nice player this past week and with a good finish. Surprised about that. That means he's got some ability to adapt and learn. That might take time, might take 3-4 years, but you can learn it. And I think Victor Hovland talked about that in winning about Muirfield Village. It's not a course you are good or bad at forever. You just kind of have to learn how to play it and, frankly, kind of accept it because it's really difficult. Jack likes to embarrass the players with the setup, and especially in the last few years, it's been really weird. But he seems to like to make this golf course especially difficult for this tournament, and he adapted. Tyrrell Hatton's been playing great golf all year and obviously didn't play as well as he would have liked at Oak Hill, but still played well enough. I think 12-1 is too short for both of these guys, but if you're going to make me pick between the two, I would take Hatton. Cam Young has been struggling the last 3 or 4 times out. He is 14-1 pass. Matt Fitzpatrick has been erratic really since March. I mean, he has a win. He has some good finishes. He has some absolute duds. He's 14-1. That's not consistent enough for me. Corey Connors, Justin Rose, and Shane Lowry are an interesting threesome at 18-1. I don't think a Canadian has won this tournament in something like 67 years. And Corey Connors would obviously be a national hero for the rest of his life if he were able to break that streak. He's a great ball striker on a course most of these guys don't know. That's a good thing. I think he can be a guy to bet this week, other than the fact that history is very much working against him. Justin Rose has been playing very well. He skipped last week after playing really well at Colonial. If you want to try to draw some comparison between the two places, and I think you might be able to, then you should like him this week at 18-1. Shane Lowry's heading in the right direction. Top 16 finishes in his last 2 starts. Been a bit erratic this year. Maybe starting to kind of come around just in time. I would really like his game at the U.S. Open, actually, if he does okay enough this week. I would fire on him for a bet. And we'll actually talk about the U.S. Open just a little bit at the end of this. Tommy Fleetwood is 20-1. He's never won on the PGA Tour in the United States. Well, could do it with a loophole by winning in Canada. Playing pretty good golf. 20-1, worth a look. Sahith Theegala is a money-making machine. He's 30-1. He's not playing his best golf at the moment, I don't think, but the thing I really like about him is that he grinds. He makes cuts. He finds ways to get paid. He gets to the weekend. And eventually, even when you're not playing that great, that might play your way into making the big check. And I do like him this week. 35-1, Keith Mitchell. Probably will pass on him. I love his game. I just don't see it here. Adam Hadwin, your next best Canadian, 40-1. Matt Kuchar playing pretty well, 40-1, but not so well that you've got to bet him. Also been quite erratic. Really, the high water mark was the little stretch leading into the Masters when he played well at the Texas Open, and I don't just that's not enough to trust it for me. Adrian Meronk is 45-1 along with Nikolai Højgaard. I think those are interesting potential plays this week. Meronk has been tremendous on the DP World Tour. He is really the only current regular on the DP World Tour that's in the top 50 in the world, as Ryan Fox is now a special temporary member of the PGA Tour. Nikolai Højgaard's a great player. He's got that special temporary status, I believe, as well. So you're in that position where he could win this type of tournament. I think they're both worth a look here. Adam Svensson's probably going to draw a fair amount of handle this week at 55-1. Of the Canadians, I would like probably him second over Adam Hadwin. Just a personal thought, given his quality of ball striking. I think I can see a little bit of Stanley Thompson and RSM, where he won. Different style of golf course, but worth noting. Nick Taylor is up there, next best Canadian, fourth on the board, 60-1, along with Ludvig Åberg, who is making his professional debut this week. He won the PGA Tour PGA Tour card, after ending a really great collegiate amateur career. I've seen his odds fluctuate pretty heavily so far. Even before we recorded this podcast, I've seen him at 50-1, 60-1, and 70-1. That's the sign of a market that people don't know how to price, and also the sign of an aftershock from Rose Zhang winning her professional debut and becoming the first player in 72 years to win in their pro debut made on the LPGA Tour. So there may be a little bit of purchasing here, thinking, hey, this guy's making his debut, trying to find a parallel that really isn't there. I'm not saying he's not capable of winning, but you've got a whole lot of more experienced players who aren't going to be playing, for one, U.S. Open sectional qualifying today. He's doing that in Canada. And two, in their first professional tournament. The good thing for Åberg is he's not truly under the gun here because he doesn't have to worry about sponsor exemptions. He's got a card, so he has the opportunity to play. Now he's got to do something with it. 70-1s, Joseph Bramlett, Aaron Wise. 75-1s, Matt McNeely, Eric Cole, Alex Smalley. Eric Cole's kind of interesting to me. 80-1s, Sam Stevens, Mac Hughes, Team Canada there, Brendan Todd. Michael Kim's interesting to me here at 80-1, playing some pretty good golf, best golf of his PGA Tour career other than the one win that he has, but after that it was awful. But he has been playing good golf this year, and in a weaker field, I do like him. Ben Martin, 90-1, along with Taylor Pendrith and Aaron Rye, Harry Hall, and Michael Thor Bjornsson. That's an interesting play, Thor Bjornsson. He's a great amateur player. Getting ready to really take on the world here. And at 90-1, I think that's a little mispriced. He had a great run at the Travelers Championship, which if you want to try to draw some parallels to Northeastern golf, it's not exactly the same trying to go from Hartford and TPC River Highlands to here. River Highlands is much shorter, but he had a great run there. I don't think he's intimidated. If you want to like someone, maybe I would like this number better than I would like Åberg's number, if you want to try to bet that young guy play. Brandon Wu, Webb Simpson, David Lipsky, Akshay Bhatia, Will Gordon, all 100-1. None of those really get my interest. Maybe Bhatia, maybe. I'm not sure. Maybe Lipsky, sort of. Not feeling entirely. Let's see, Cam Champ, Davis Thompson's kind of interesting to me at 130-1. Mark Hubbard, Luke List, Vincent Norman, Ben Griffin, Garrick Higo, Lee Hodges, all 110-1. I don't think I'm going to fire on a whole lot of long shots here. I guess Ben Ahn is out. I guess he withdrew. He was in the field earlier in the week, and I really liked his chances actually in this tournament, but it looks like he's out now based on what I see here at DraftKings. So bad. I was going to recommend him. Too bad. So sad about that, but you've got some pretty deep players here this week. I mean, looking at where you're looking, this is not a deep field. I think we've got 13 of the world top 50 competing, and you've got some guys that you've heard of that are in the, you know, 800 to 1. Michael Gligic is 800 to 1. He's Canadian, for crying out loud. At least give him something to work with. I mean, no, he's not playing well, but give him something here. If you're looking for a super mega upset, Tyson Alexander might be our guy for the first round. Once again, first round king, just crushing it out there. Not to win the golf tournament, but I do like him as a first round play. And then just all kinds of names you've probably heard of, but none I think you want to get particularly involved with here this week. I would stay short of that. Unless you're feeling like a weird Cody Gribble crush and want to get in there 400 to 1. But I wouldn't do that. I'm just telling you what's out there. So it's an interesting week, a relatively unknown venue. I will point this out. Maybe. Grayson Murray, 250 to 1. It would be such a controversial win given how people feel about Grayson Murray, but he's playing well on the Korn Ferry Tour. Won on the Korn Ferry Tour, almost had a chance to win, kind of crapped it away. Playing sectional qualifying today in Maryland, actually. Just so happens to be worth looking at. Obviously, the travel situation may be strange for him, but depending on what he does and if he qualifies, then it's going to be a long day. If he plays poorly in the first 18, he might just WD just to get up to Canada. Who knows? But he is playing well right now, and it might be worth a look on the super upset side of things at 250 to 1. There aren't a whole lot of props up for the week yet. We've got top 20s, got some tournament props. I would leave any kind of scoring props alone this week. I think we told you one or a playoff last week for Memorial. That worked out pretty well. But this being a tournament that moves around, I would just not even bother. Don't think about it. Let's just stop. We're good there. So let's leave well enough alone. Let's talk a little bit about the U.S. Open. Get that in here before we talk briefly about the Scandinavian mix, because I want to go over the format for that. It's a little bit tricky because it's men and women competing together at the same time in the same tournament, albeit from different tees. So we'll talk about that here in a second. U.S. Open odds. Scottie Scheffler, 15-2. John Rahm, 9-1. Brooks Koepka, 12-1. McIlroy, 14-1. Xander Schauffele, who I thought was going to play great at Memorial, absolutely wet the bed, is 16-1. But I do like where his game is. Victor Hovland, 18-1. I think you have to consider betting. But my problem with him is that there are going to be a lot of runoff areas on this golf course. Now, there were some at Oak Hill. Not, I don't think, to the extent we're going to see at LACC. He seems to thrive particularly well when that skill of creativity is forced into a single style of shot, the pop-out shot that he's got and can figure out. He's been working hard on that short game. The putting is better, but 18-1 feels a little... I would love him like 22 or 25, but you're not going to get that anymore. So if you like him, hopefully you've already bet him, but 18-1 isn't a killer. People have loved Max Homa for, what, the better part of a year? Leading into this tournament, he's 20-1, along with Morikawa, who had to withdraw after round 3. That's an unfortunate situation for him. He was playing pretty well, but I think Max Homa is too short here for a guy who's never had top 10 in the major. Tyrrell Hatton, 25-1. Matt Fitzpatrick, 25-1, along with Spieth, who I think could actually be interesting. Justin Thomas, Cam Smith is definitely interesting. Spieth and Smith actually have my attention here. Tony Finau certainly has it at 28-1. I did mention Shane Lowry. He is 28-1. And I think is absolutely worth a look, depending on how he does this week. You may want to pay attention to this market as he's playing, because I don't think he's going to see a whole lot of action. People aren't going to put a ton of money on him. But if you like what you see here, that would give you a third successive data point to really like him going into another major championship. I would consider that very strongly. Cam Young at 35-1. I would really like him to get right before you even considered betting him. He's too short the way he's been playing. Jason Day, 35-1, does interest me quite a bit. Tom Kim interests me at the PGA Championship, and obviously has fallen off the planet, but he is 40-1 here. Corey Connors is 50-1. Justin Rose, I think, interests me on this venue at 60-1. Ricky Fowler certainly does. Given his short game and given how he thinks about shots with wedges and inside 100 yards, I do like that quite a bit. Adam Scott's got my attention. He's just such a bad putter. It's really hard to get excited about betting Adam Scott, knowing how difficult putting is for him, but he was T9 at Memorial, T29 at the PGA, almost had it at the Nelson T8, was great at the Wells Fargo. Like, so, he's playing great golf. He's just so bad at putting. But it's 65-1. Maybe that's just worth it to have some action on Adam Scott for next week. It would be a really interesting story for a guy that looks like a Hollywood actor to win in Hollywood. Just throwing that all out there. Mito Pereira, great driver of the golf ball, playing pretty well on LIV. 80-1 is kind of interesting to me as well. If you're starting to look for some bombs, I think one, you need to see sectional slash final qualifying wrap up today. You'll probably start to get some of that here once you kind of get the full field in hand. But beyond that, I don't know if I have a whole lot of guys that I love in the upset realm. I don't know. All right, let's see the final field before we go to that, because then I think we can tag in some bombs, because you'll in this listing, you've got players who are not in the field yet. Like Mark Leishman, for example, is playing sectionals at finals, 150-1, but he's playing right now in Rockville, Maryland for a spot in the tournament. So this will get shortened up pretty hard here soon, and then you'll have a better idea of maybe some guys to look at based on the full final actual field for the week. I want to touch very briefly before we go on the Scandinavian Mixed. This is a DP World Tour event with the LET. They are playing the same tournament at the same time. They're playing for the same purse. Lynn Grant won this tournament last year, and she won it going away. The women do have a substantial advantage off the tee here, because the tee boxes have been set up in a way, at least so far, that have not provided an advantage to women, but certainly a catch-up. They're trying to give players the same clubs approximately into the greens. Lynn Grant can hit the shit out of the ball. So I like Lynn Grant, again, at 16-1. She's the top of the board for a reason. She won by, what, 9 last year. But if you're trying to find a guy who can win this, let's look down through the whole board here real quick. You have basically two women in the top 10 of the board. So you've got Lynn Grant at 16-1 and Madeline Sagstrom at 22-1. And Sagstrom is absolutely a capable player. She can win this tournament. Then in between, you've got Alex Noren and Alex Bjork at 18-1. You would like Bjork. He's a great ball striker. I've been betting him all year and waiting for him to cash. Robert McIntyre, 22-1, along with Sagstrom. Antoine Rosner, 25-1. And Jorge Campillo at 28-1, along with Yannick Paul at 30-1. I would look at Campillo and Paul. Max Kiefer had a great week, runner-up in Germany at the Porsche European Open. Jus Luyten's playing well. Ewan Ferguson's playing well. 35-1 all, with Nicholas Norgaard at 35-1. Ingrid Lindblad is 45-1. She could be interesting as well. She's a really, really great amateur player. She had a great run at the Augusta National Women's Am a couple years ago. 45-1 is an interesting number for her. Klara Spilkova is 45-1. She plays really well in the Ladies European Tour as well. Worth a look. So this is a tricky event to try to figure out, but the women who are placed high up on this list are there for a reason. It is not to sucker you in. They can legitimately win the tournament the way it's constructed. And not to say that they have an advantage, but I think Lynn Grant demonstrated you can have an advantage if you hit the ball a long way relative to your female peers, given the setup here. Now, that may have been adjusted given what happened last year and some of the complaints from some of the dudes in the field. Take a look at that. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But I want to get that on your radar, because there might be an opportunity here. And you might actually get a good number on Yannick Paul at 30-1 or Jorge Campillo at nearly 30-1. Guys who have been striking the ball extremely well. I know Yannick Paul didn't play great last week, as well as he could have in Germany. But these guys are on runs and they're good players. So well worth a look this week. But do not think that it's not worth betting Lynn Grant or, in my view, Ingrid Lindblad this week. That's going to do it for us today on our first show of the week. Thank you so much for listening to the program. I appreciate it. If you catch us on a podcast platform, let you do this. Give us a 5-star review. leave a comment. Helps us reach more people. You can email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. If you have any questions, happy to get back to you. Or you can get a hold of me on Twitter or Instagram at Ryan Ballingy. Not tweeting as much these days, but I do answer all my DMs. So long as you're not spam, I'm happy to talk to you about your picks or suggestions or anything like that. We'll be back tomorrow with another show. We'll go over the card for the Canadian Open. We won't really have course fits, but we will have tournament horse for courses, I suppose. And we'll talk about current form too. Talk about the LPGA's event, even though it starts on Friday. We'll start that conversation as well. And then we'll wrap up the week with our picks and final card. Thanks so much for listening. We'll catch you next time on The Press.